Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of this show. And a heartfelt thank you to all of you who continue to listen in each week to the Para-X Radio Network or on Podomatic. I have certainly appreciated your interest in joining me every Thursday evening from 11 p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time to learn more about the paranormal and or supernatural occurrences. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is intended to educate, entertain, and intrigue you about real or perceived claims about the paranormal. So, are you interested in downloading a few segments? Here's how you go about doing this. First, if you are listening in on the ParaX Radio Network, go to the show archives link located at the top of the page, click on it, scroll down to Paranormal Encounters podcast series link, and this will bring you directly into Podomatic. On the right-hand side, you can subscribe for free, where all you need to know is that each week, every time I upload a new episode, you will be notified. And if you are already in Podomatic, download the segment as usual. And for those of you who like to read, check out my 7 books on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. Their book covers and descriptions can be viewed on www.ParanormalUniversalPress.com. That's www.ParanormalUniversalPress.com. So, let's get started. Here is what is on the agenda for this episode. In segment 1, Paranormal Topics, the topic for this week will be time slips. Segment 2, Beyond the Grave. A voice talent will share a few premonitions as reported by everyday people. Segment 3, Ghosts in the News. A voice talent will report an interesting news story about an unexplained ghostly encounter from somewhere around the globe. Segment 4, a very popular segment called Maynard and Mildred. This comedic show will enlighten your day by putting a smile on your face as Maynard continues to be picked on by Mildred, his ghost friend. And segment 5, a new segment called Ghoulish Chatterbox, as narrated by Mildred, who will chatter to you about her adventure working out at the gym. If you have a story you would like to share or would like to be a guest on my program, please write to my email at krschutz1@yahoo.com. That's krschutz1@yahoo.com.
Marla's Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the ParaX Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the ParaX Radio Network.
This segment is called Paranormal Topics. The topic for discussion will be time slips. This is the educational portion of the podcast. Wouldn't it be fascinating if we could all look back into a crystal ball to see what life was like before we were born? How about looking into our future to see how life may look like, say, 100 to 300 years from now? Time slips are an interesting phenomenon. Some people proclaim that they have encountered a time slip. Others, like myself, wish to experience the phenomena at least once. I decided to do some reading to learn more about this unusual time occurrence, and as I move through this topic tonight, let's see what you think about what I have discovered. According to research, a time slip is known to be a paranormal event during which people, either on their own or as a group, travel through time by unknown means and for unknown reasons. This time slip can represent the past or the future. Here's our first example. Montelimar, France, 1979. The first example I found that piqued my interest was that of two couples who went on vacation to Montelimar, France, in the year of 1979. For me, this was not long ago. It was probably, I'd say I was about maybe 17 or 18 years old back then. And back in 1979, these two couples were just simply driving through France on a holiday vacation. While looking for a place to stay near Montelimar, they found a motel but were told by the innkeeper that there were no vacancies and that they should try to find another motel further down the road. So as they departed that motel and began driving down the road, they soon found themselves driving down a cobbled street. Nothing startling at first, probably thought it had always been there. One of the couples spotted an old-fashioned sign advertising for a circus. They stopped to admire it. Soon afterwards, as they continued on with their journey, they came across a long, low stone building, otherwise known as an inn. The couples went inside the inn and were shown to their rooms. The windows had no glass in them. They were simple wooden structures. And the furniture was basic. There were no pillows, no telephones, nothing remotely modern, no lifts, otherwise known as elevators. And after eating their evening meal of steak, eggs, and beer, they decided to retire to their bedrooms. At breakfast the next morning in the dining room, they were struck by some bizarrely dressed individuals. Before I move further on with this story, do you not think that the waitress or waiter who served them their evening meal the night before may have also dressed in some type of period clothing? Or did they experience a time shift where it went from present day to past day? Of course, let's also keep in mind that these couples were on a holiday in France, and the story did not indicate whether the couples were from America or from Canada. All we know is that when we travel overseas from America, that there are obvious differences in our environments and sometimes the dress of the natives to its land, which ultimately does not take us by huge surprise because we almost expect that we are going to see differences when we travel. So, for breakfast, a woman in a silk evening gown came into the restaurant carrying a dog in her arms. One of the couples remarked that she was strange in her look, and as she looked at the woman, because she had appeared to have just come from like a ballroom event, even though it was 7 o'clock in the morning. Policemen were also wearing uniforms later identified to date around the year 1905. They noticed them sitting down to eat. When the couples went to pay for their bill, they were astonished when they were asked by the clerk to just pay 19 francs, which was just over 2 euro, to cover their stay. 2 weeks down the line, on their way home from their holiday, they decided to stay at this inn again, but it was no longer there. Now I'm going to assume that the couples were native to the land, because the story says 2 weeks down the line, they plan to stay there again. So, you know, I don't see anyone from the United States always jumping in a plane every 2 weeks to go back to where they came from. So I'm going to speculate that they came from somewhere over there and that they might not have been American. Now I'm going to assume again that they were within a proximity that allowed them the opportunity to apparently try their experience again. To add to their confusion, all the rolls of the film they had taken while at the inn had gone missing. Okay. Now, the story doesn't talk about anything regarding, you know, what they might have done to try to figure out why the second time around they couldn't see anything, whereas the first time it was pretty blatantly obvious. So I suppose they just went on their merry way, scratching their heads and wondering what type of whiskey they might have drank that evening. 4 years later, when they went on their holiday again, they decided to go back to the same location, and they still could not locate the inn. Now, wouldn't you think after going back a second time, now out of curiosity, I would obviously try to go back again, because, you know, you never know. And but obviously 4 years later, this still was on their minds, but it wasn't there. So why did they not figure out the first time around where it had gone? That's beyond me. Wouldn't they have sent up a potential red flag about, you know, trying to locate someone to at least attempt to get down to the bottom of things? I don't know. Maybe a movie set was going on at some popular movie and that they didn't realize was being you know, filmed at the time. I mean, there could be all kinds of reasons for what was going on here. So I want to examine this just a little bit more further here. Let's go back to the dinner or the supper that they were eating. If the environment looked dated or aged, wouldn't the silverware they ate with also look a bit dated? Now let's focus on the period clothing of both the women or the woman with the dog and also the police officers. Would the couples not have asked at least someone around their immediate proximity, like the receptionist or the clerk or whoever, if there was some type of historic film event going on or if there was a movie being filmed? There's no indication of that in the story. What about the dialect or type of conversation exchanged when ordering the food? That has a tendency to be fairly obvious even within its own country. So would this not have created some interest? If the period was approximately around 1905 for the police officers and the uniforms that they wore, then why wouldn't the dialect of both the waitstaff and the policeman not sound a bit different? Okay, so, finally, the charge for the food. Well, we all appreciate a free meal once in a while, but the price would have raised a huge red flag, causing a conversation about it, which does not appear to have happened at all. So, now let's talk about the inn rooms, the bedrooms themselves. Okay, so they sound a little basic. I have seen myself and stayed in European rooms back in the 1980s that were rather plain and outdated. I thought nothing of it, only that in Europe it appeared to be a little bit more conservative with its furnishings. What I did love about my European travel, though, and my experiences back in the 80s and 90s and the 2000s, was that my hotel experiences gave me a nice contrast as to what made them more unique and different than in the United States. And so, once again, I probably wouldn't have questioned anything either. I would have just assumed that we were staying in an older type of inn. Finally, the cobblestone road. Okay, so they went back a couple weeks later, and the inn wasn't there. But they never did mention anything about the cobblestone road. Was it still there? I thought they went hand in hand. Most of us take for granted when we travel to and within unknown places, such as in Europe, that the roads can change in their look depending on the towns we travel through. So that would have been of interest to me, but what would have been more of interest to me is if I went back 2 weeks later and didn't see the cobble roads anymore, stone roads anymore, or 4 years later and didn't see the cobblestone roads anymore. Did the couples not also notice the driving environment surrounding them, like ongoing traffic, the countryside, or any other signs? Something to think about here. After all, the story never mentioned anything about a comparison to vehicles. What seems to be the most interesting, though, is that both couples experienced the exact same elements of the exact same thing at the exact same time. Something to think about. Why don't we try another story, shall we? It's called The White House in 1971. No, this story is not about the White House we know is situated in Washington, D.C. It is actually about a White House located or was located in rural Oklahoma. Back in 1971, a pickup truck drove onto a cattle pasture near Ponca City, Oklahoma, stopping at its gate. Its occupants, Carl, Mark, and Gordon, had been sent there to pick up a tank. Carl said, "We opened the gate, which was barbed wire with no lock, and entered. We went onto the property, which was covered with grass up to and over the hood of the truck, and they drove their pickup through the grass to the tank and got out of the truck." Okay? Carl said in their attempt to load the tank, it was almost half full and too heavy to load, so he said that they were going to leave, drive around to this red barn, to a large two-story white house with no lights in the front of them, and essentially, I guess just assess the area, because they had to come back and attempt to load the tank the next day. Okay, so then they went back to their employer to explain that the tank was too heavy. Their boss said that he'd drain it so they could pick it up the next day. Okay, so when they went back to the location the next night to retrieve the tank, they also decided to go through this big old white house located on a hill. They had brought with them their shotguns just in case, so I'm going to assume it was abandoned. I'm also going to assume it was probably pretty rickety. When they arrived, they saw what they saw was incomprehensible. It, the White House, was no longer there. We walked up the hill where it stood, and there were no signs of demolition, no foundation, nothing at all. What we did seem to witness the night before was no longer there anymore, which was the White House. None of us could explain this vision. You know, this story reminds me of a situation I recall hearing about a couple years ago when someone had discovered the remains of somebody while hiking on a trail somewhere and decided to go back to get the authorities. And then once the person reported that situation, the authorities said they would come with the person the next day to the location. And when they arrived, There were no footprints, no obvious trail, no dead body, nothing. It was as if the entire area had been tampered with, and all the evidence, including the footprints in the sand or the dirt, were completely just wiped away. In this specific dead body case, they believed it was some government cover-up issue. In the White House story, it was as if David Copperfield was there to make the entire White House simply disappear. So how does an old White House located on a hill disappear overnight when there isn't a trace of anything remaining of it? The next step, of course, would be to get the details on the location and go back to review property records or go do a Google Maps satellite search to determine if the White House had ever existed at all, and if so, when. So how can more than one person see a White House and suddenly it just simply disappears? Something to think about. Let's take a look at our final story here. It's called Shifting Stores, dated in 1996. So back in 1996, again, another time period where most of us were here on this earth, I believe I was around the age of 36. So Frank was out shopping and decided to visit a music store to look for a CD. As he walked near a post office, he suddenly felt as if he'd stepped into an oasis of quietness. He was then shocked to see a small box van reminiscent of the 1950s speed across his path, narrowly missing him and honking its horn. Okay, so now we know that whoever was in the vehicle also saw Frank. Does this mean that those who are portrayed in the time slip are also aware of our being there? I don't want to ruin this story, but a situation similar to this happened to me a few years ago. I was walking out of a restaurant and was trying to cross the parking lot to go to my vehicle when out of nowhere a red truck came barreling through the parking lot and nearly missed me. And my perception as I was about to cross the parking lot to go to my car was that there was nobody in sight. So out of nowhere, here comes this red truck right at me. Yes, it stopped and I gave the person a dirty look. Was this a time slip? I don't think so. Just a reckless idiot who likes to barrel through parking lots as if no one is around. Anywho, back to this story here. So Frank realized that he was now standing in the middle of a road and looking at what should have been a bookstore. The shop now had a different sign on it, and inside he saw lady handbags and shoes, but no books. While he was approaching this store, Frank decided to follow a young woman inside and simply watch her. Okay, that right there, in this day and age, would creep a person out, so probably don't do that. In his disbelief, as he entered the interior of the store suddenly snapped back to the store he had been walking to. The girl was still in the store, which was the CD bookstore. And Frank grabs her arm, asking if she'd seen the same thing that he had. And she replied, yes. She thought it was a handbag and shoe store, but as she started looking around, it turned into a bookshop. So here are a few questions. Did this girl see the changing surroundings the exact same way as Frank did? What did she do once she realized she was not in the bookstore? Did Frank approach anyone else in the store to see if they also saw a changing environment? And what did they do at this point? Ask questions of the clerk? I never thought structures had energy, like humans. Apparitions can manifest, but only for 3 to 5 seconds. That is, under the right conditions. How can portions of a town or stores appear after they have been demolished? They do not hold energy to manifest to begin with, or is a time slip something more evolved than what we have learned of it and what we believe of what a time slip is? Let's look at one more but similar incident. In Liverpool, a teenager named Imogen went out shopping to buy some baby clothes for her older sister, who had just become a mother. Imogen noticed a new branch of Mother Care had opened on the corner of Lord Street, so she went inside and selected some pretty items, including polka dot bibs and a pink velour cardigan, which all had surprisingly low prices. However, when she tried to pay with her credit card, the clerk was confused by this form of money and would not accept it. Not having enough cash, she went to another store before returning home. When she told her mom about the new mother care store, Imogen was irritated to find that her mother refused to believe the store existed, as she knew it had been closed for years and it was now a bank. The pair quarreled and decided to return to the site, and sure enough, the mother care store was no longer there, and in its place was a bank. Okay, let's pick this story apart some, shall we? So the gal is trying to purchase her baby items with a credit card. Do you not think that they may not say to her something like this? What is that? We have never seen this type of money before. Where did that come from? Would they not wonder where she received such a strange-looking form of payment? The other thing that would have been noticed would have been the clerk's hairstyle. We all know that hairstyles are always changing. Not sure if the beehive will ever come back or tall hair, but putting that aside, if the store was something else, then a few more questions to the clerk may have added or eliminated a bit of confusion. Next, the place is now a bank. Again, property records that go way back are usually available, so why was there not enough information given to us that the people affected did or did not go to do a property search and try to see how long ago this mother care store actually went out of business? Something to think about. Is all of the above a perception issue, a hallucination caused from something like unscented gases, molds, or whatnot? Is it possible for two individuals or more to see moments in time the same as they once were or eventually could be? We all know that energy can embed itself into things or situations. I recall touring a southern plantation years ago, and the story of what was told then was that there was a deceased white horse that always seemed to, during certain times, show up on the lawn, and many people would see it, and also many people would also see it disappear right before their eyes. So how can we explain the disappearance of a building or an object when it doesn't have the same type of energy as a living human or animal being? I would like to experience a time slip just to see how my perception would be affected. I am sure the answer to that question would be confused. Here's a question for all of you. Have you not ever experienced something that made you think twice about the incident? As if your comment would be, "But it was just there," or "I saw it a moment ago." And of course, with environments changing and transforming all the time, how can a store be there one moment and then transform itself back into something else from the past? After all, this one I believe was turned into a bank, but interestingly enough, it just turned itself back into what it used to be. I'm not even sure that's even possible. Do buildings have an internal consciousness? Does energy, particularly in areas that have ley lines, store or absorb memories in those general areas? All of this aside, something to think about. Here ends the segment for this episode. Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment two, otherwise known as Beyond the Grave. In this segment, a voice talent will share a few premonitions as reported by everyday people. Stay tuned. Some people ask, what is a premonition? A premonition is a strong feeling that something is about to happen, especially something very unpleasant. However, the flip side to a premonition is this. Are premonitions always negative? Story 1. Amanda, a young mother living in Washington State, awoke one night at 2:30 a.m. from a nightmare. She had dreamed that a large chandelier that hung above their baby's bed in the next room fell into the crib and crushed the infant. In her dream, as she and her husband stood amid the wreckage, she saw that the clock on the baby's dresser read 4:35 a.m. The weather in the dream was violent. Rain hammered the window and the wind was simply howling. The dream was so terrifying that she awakened her husband and told him about it. He simply laughed, told her the dream was silly, and urged her to go back to sleep, which he promptly did. But the dream was so frightening to Amanda that she went to the baby's room and brought the child back to bed with her. She noted the weather was calm, not stormy as in her dream. Although she felt foolish, it was about 2 hours later when she and her husband were awakened by a loud crash. They dashed into the nursery and found the crib demolished by the chandelier, which had fallen directly into it. Amanda noted that the clock on the dresser read 4:35 a.m. and that the weather had changed. Now there was howling wind and rain. This time her husband was not laughing. Amanda's dream was a snapshot of the future, down to the specific incident and event, the precise time it would happen, and actually the change in the weather. Was this incident a mere coincidence, or was there something to Amanda's premonition? Story 2. Premonitions are a recurring feature in the experiences of SIDS parents, where an infant dies suddenly with no forewarning explanation. Here's an example by a physician by the name of Don. During the first trimester of Don's wife's pregnancy, he sensed the happiness of his son's birth, but he also felt that it would not be lasting. A few months before his son's birth, Don would occasionally find himself contemplating a nearby cemetery where his son would eventually be buried. The day his son was born, Don held the baby in his arms, fearing the child was not supposed to be with them at all. Beginning around 2 to 3 weeks prior to his son's death, Don would be awakened from his sleep with thoughts of SIDS. The day before his son died, he heard a voice very similar to his own saying, "Take a good look. This is the last time you will see your son." Don's apprehensions increased when his wife planned a flight with the baby to visit her parents, who lived in another state. Although they disagreed about whether the baby should go, Don didn't make his fears clear to his wife. As he was driving them to the airport, negative feelings came flooding in. At the airport, walking to security, he heard a clear warning that he'd never see his son again. He knew his baby would die during this trip. While walking back to the parking lot, the voice inside him told him to go back and get his son. Finally, the voice softened and stopped, and Don ignored it and kept walking. Early the next morning, when his wife had called, she was hysterical because she did relay that her son, their son, had died. He later would find out that his aunt had similar apprehensions and premonitions about the baby. Looking back, Don said, "The process has been a shock to me since I knew beforehand that this death was going to happen. The only thing I didn't know was when and where. I had no idea of its meaning, and the only thing I can say is that perhaps if I would have listened to my heart, many mishaps could have been prevented. I think people have the ability to perceive things and give it a purposeful meaning which can be used for any future event." However, the ultimate question, of course, is whether anything could have been done to reverse the SIDS syndrome. After all, this type of syndrome brings on sudden death, and that cannot always be controlled. For those of us who have had experiences with a child dying due to SIDS, many of us know that we cannot always reverse what may happen in the future. Conclusion. Premonitions can cause confusion. No one likes to focus on negative outcomes. Because our minds are constantly in overdrive when it comes to thoughts, ideas, anticipation of events, etc., what we think can often be confused with our thoughts is merely an unleashing of unconscious messages or unexplained brain patterns while we either sleep or ponder our days. We all know that anxieties can confuse our thinking, allowing our minds to go down paths that may not even be necessary. Acting on our fears can form or even cause false alarms or even self-fulfilling prophecies. So, when do we act on our unconscious fears and premonitions? Or do we just allow our lives to play out knowing that some of our warning systems may jump in from time to time? As our warning system, this is a natural event, and it does oftentimes take over the thoughts in our bodies. Recently, I had a premonition that someone in my family would have an appendicitis attack. It was just a thought that ran through my head one morning, and I ignored it due to just simple pondering. Perhaps my wondering about it occurred because my brother and myself had our appendixes out at early and later ages. He was young and I was in my 40s. But why this past event swirled in my head that one morning was beyond me. To my surprise, a few days later, my brother's daughter had an appendicitis attack. It takes a lot of energy to pay attention to all the warnings our minds relay to us on a daily basis. Our warning systems can be useful in relaying internal messages, but not always can our thoughts be fully identified or even controlled. So when do we act, and actually when do we speak up? Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 3 of the podcast known as Ghosts in the News. This segment will be reported by a voice talent who will share with us an interesting ghost sighting witnessed by everyday people around the globe. Stay tuned.
Welcome everyone to segment 3 called Ghosts in the News. What ghostly ghouls are lurking in your area? A news article, as reported by the Mirror News, dated January 14, 2018, takes us to a boat off the Irish coast, where Amanda Teague, age 45, has married a Haitian pirate named Jack, who died in the 1700s. The fact that he is dead does not bother her, and proclaims the dead pirate is her soulmate. The article, entitled "Woman Fed Up with Searching for a Perfect Man Marries a Ghost of 300-Year-Old Pirate," relays, like any ordinary couple, she and the deceased pirate have arguments, go on dates, and even have sex. Teague stated this is the perfect kind of relationship for her, and that there are a lot of people out there who don't know about spiritual relationships. She wants to get the message out that a spiritual relationship could be right for them. Amanda is a Jack Sparrow impersonator. Although she has never seen her husband in physical form, she imagines him to be similar to Captain Jack Sparrow in the movie Pirates of the Caribbean. The romance began in 2014 when she was lying in bed and felt the energy of a spirit next to her. After she realized she could communicate to the apparition, she became more interested. Her relationship developed as she felt him sitting near her, watching TV or driving the car. Her feelings grew more intense once he told her that their relationship could go further. After doing some research, she realized she was not the only person to have a spiritual relationship. According to her ex-husband, he can tell her feelings for the 300-year-old pirate are strong and connected. And that's our ghostly moment in the news.
Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 4, entitled Maynard and Mildred. Stay tuned.
Hello, Maynard. What's the matter? Haven't seen a ghost today? Maynard, science can't explain everything. Maynard, just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Oh dear, it's my day for show and tell, and I completely forgot about it.
Hello, Maynard.
Holy crap, Mildred. I don't have time to chat right now. I've got to think about something to bring for show and tell.
Why don't you bring your trophy from the hot dog eating contest?
Mildred, they don't give trophies for eating 3 hot dogs. Now be quiet. I have to really concentrate.
I know. Why don't you bring the pink superhero pajamas your Aunt Fluoride gave you?
Her name's Florine. And I'd be ashamed in front of my peers. I'd never live it down.
Oh, well.
I know. I'll bring my wacky smacky turbo shooter. It's one of a kind. No one has one of those. Not in the whole wide world.
What does it shoot, Maynard?
Ping pong balls.
How boring. I mean, how exciting.
I'm sure nervous. I feel stage fright coming on. It's almost time.
Maynard, why don't you just go out there and charm them with your wit and undeniable good looks?
Shh. Mildred, hush already. What? Oh, yes, ma'am. That's me, Maynard. Here I go.
Break a leg!
Hello, boys and boys and girls. Today I'm going to show you my wacky, smacky turbo shooter. It's the only one in the world. Have you ever seen one?
Yes!
Oh, no. Maynard, you forgot the ping pong balls at your desk. I need to go get them for you. Here, Maynard, I'll toss them to you.
Mildred, remember, no one can see you. You're tossing at them at me. Uh-oh, my teacher, Miss Houlihan, just fainted. Miss Houlihan, are you all right?
Maynard, I'll get you some water.
No thanks, I'm not really thirsty. No, Mildred, wait. Sorry about that, Miss Houlihan. Wait, everyone, don't run out of the classroom.
Maynard, someone is heading out the window.
Penny! No, not the window!
Woo! Maynard, I think I'm going to take off. Have fun trying to show off your shooter to the what remains in the classroom. I hope Miss Houlihan recovers from her fall. And I hope Penny is all right after she tossed herself foolishly out the window. Maybe next time we can meet at Frosty Fingers Lake to go ice fishing. Okay, Maynard?
Let's take our final break. When we come back, we will hear segment 5 entitled as narrated by Mildred, who will chatter to you about one of her intriguing adventures. Stay tuned.
Time to lose a few pounds, so I am going to head to the gym. I want Maynard to start noticing my best features. Wow, look at all the people working out at this gym. I need to fit in, like I know what I'm doing, so I'll just catwalk my way over to the low impact aerobics class. Do 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 do. Well, excuse me. Gosh, you would think the ladies would have a few more manners as they rush into the aerobics class. Wow, look at all those pretty outfits. Woo! That one kind of smelled. That one looks mighty fine. And I can see that she's been working out a lot. Oh, and she's just talking to the gym coach here. I think I'm going to go over there and listen in to hear if he's got some tips for her. What? She is being scolded for losing too much weight? And he is telling her to stop throwing up in the bathroom? Miss, I'm sorry you throw up a lot. Maybe you should eat better food. Gosh, she didn't even hear me. Seems like no one is noticing me. So let me just jump right into this exercise class. And a one. And a two. What do you mean get on the floor and cross my legs into the air? Seriously, what do you think I am, a pretzel? Uh-oh, I think I overdid it. Here comes the instructor. I better tell him that I don't throw up after eating so he doesn't give me the same lecture as that other girl. Here he comes. Wait, he is not coming over to me. He is standing over the person right next to me and telling her to bend her legs more. What nerve. I think I'm going to go and give him a piece of my mind. Instructor, excuse me. Pow! I better watch it or else I may find myself in a bit of trouble. I've had enough of aerobics. I'm going to go do some weightlifting. Uh-oh, I'm with a bunch of dudes now, so I better act real cool. Howdy! How rude! The guy simply ignores me. Why don't I just watch him lift some weight so I can get a visual on how to do this? Ooh, nice form. Ah, do that again. Ah, what a piece of work. I could watch this guy all day. Ooh, sir, will I be rude if I tell you that you sure do have nice, strong muscles? I want my boyfriend Maynard to get nice strong muscles someday, so I'm just going to watch you for a while. Ooh, watch out! The gym weights just fell onto the floor. Seriously? I pay you a compliment and you toss the weights onto the floor at me? Really now? Let me see if I can lift 50 pounds. I mean, he makes it look so easily. Why are these weights so, heavy? He made it look so easy. Watch out! Bang! Sorry about that. Looks like the weight hit the floor. Ouch. Geez, you try and help and they never give you a kind word back. Someone is asking him how he managed to hurt his foot when he never lifted the weight. I did that. It's all my fault. For some reason, they just don't seem to hear me. Maybe I should just go and do some running. A few laps might be just what I need. Oh, look. There's an old man running around the track, and he looks like he's struggling. I can be a good deeder here, and we'll help him speed up his process. Excuse me, sir. I noticed that you are struggling in running around the track. Do you want me to help you some? Oh my God, he's not giving me any response. Geez, ignored again. What am I, invisible? Here, sir. Let me help you. Let me give you a nice big push. Ooh! Whoops. I think I helped him too much. He just fell on top of that woman while running around the track. Oh my God, she's now smacking him a few good ones What is she saying? How dare you jump on top of me? Police? Police? Oh my God, I need to get out of here. This place is crazy. My day at the gym seems a little bit too eventful for my taste, and Maynard, he needs to appreciate all the efforts I have been going through to make myself look beautiful for him. Oh my, the man is running faster now. Oh, you're welcome, sir. But the lady is running after him with a dumbbell. Maybe that's how they do it around here. Woo! Well, the end of my day.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or Para-X Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, Para-X Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.